down to T Highway area and all there where they could empty out maybe at a B Creek. I mean, I've looked over the terrain. It's like everybody else. It's an expensive terrain. They got mansions here, a mansion on that hilltop. And I don't think they want a bridge going by their hard-earned millions of dollars and their God-bless fundings and things that they have. I mean, you know, they built it up. And I don't know where it's going to come from. I'm sure y'all don't either, but it's going to take tens of millions of dollars just to rectify the blasted fiasco. It's dangerous. It's a bloodbath, and we can't continue that. So the only thing to stop the bloodbath is to close it down. I think activity will take place then. Tax funding will take place once you shut it down. I mean, it's hazardous. You have to shut it down. Coming out of Lakeshore Drive, I mean, it's dangerous. The cars are just careening down this hillside. Not everybody slows down responsibly, and everybody's in a hurry for one reason or another. Cars are loaded with kids. They're a danger to their own self. It's a ski slope. I mean, you can't control big trucks. I mean, I've had to work for a huge county with Gwinnett County, Atlanta one time when I lived there for several years, and I had to drive sometime. I had to take it, but I was in maintenance. But you can't control these big trucks going down here. You have to look ahead, just like in a jet fighter plane. You have to look way ahead. When you think about it, you respond. But they don't stop that quickly, and that's a bad thing. I fear somebody just crashing through that guardrail there, going, it's about a 20-foot drop in the lake, I think, and all kind of things can happen when you start flipping over and turning over. I can take that 3 years ago on the way over here, moving here. I mean, I crushed my arm, I fell asleep at the wheel, no drunk driving, but just trying to push the schedule to do a house sign here, and ended up being in the hospital for a little while. But anyway, it'll have to be, I think, just stopped by hazardous, too hazardous to drive on. And I don't think anybody can contest that. I guess you could sue for anything, just put a hold on anything, get the right judge, you'll put a hold on anything if you don't like it. It's so personalized this day and time, no objectivities for the judges, don't seem like. But that's what I think it's going to take to get the people more interested in funding something. I mean, if they want to live in the 40s and the 50s, I mean, that's great. That's their choice. That's the way they want their neighborhood, but you can't allow endangerment to other people and tourists coming through there and just everyday people.
This is something that I think you'll see. I know we've talked about this, but the Tanacan Expressway, when you talk about trucks, and if that expressway goes through, like what we're doing on Coon Creek
right
now,
mm-hmm.
When we get the easement done on the west there, and you get that pay note, that the trucks are going to want to go the expressway.
Yeah.
And so that should get everyone behind that. Should leave a lot of the traffic there. It mm-hmm. showed when we had to close Coon Creek, accidents that happened in that time on 76.
Yeah.
So it's a start. We get everyone behind that expressway, and I think you'll see some improvement there.
Yeah, I talked to you and Rick about that here recently on that Coon Creek, and I went. Drove up there and looked around. I couldn't really see what you were talking about, but there's two of them, right?
Go down the second week in June and gets paid.
But anyway, so there's a lot of places people could empty out, but they're not going to complain about somebody inhibiting their lifestyle or whatever. And I think it will be safe to have a situation like that. They got a big school bus that comes around in front of my house, and I'm sure they got to pull out on that road there. And you know, I've seen some ugly things happen, and like a big 9-yard cement truck in Atlanta, nobody wanted to do an intersection. Two roads, two lane intersection, heavily suburban sprawl. I mean, 5 years it was old, that quick. And nobody wanted to do anything about it. They complained about a red light, they don't want to do that. They had wrecks there all the time. Right in front of me, a big cement truck had to hit the dirt, flip over on the side, keep a lady in a segment highway, and this is for that stop. We couldn't stop at the speed limit at 50 miles an hour, but we have to take that for actually a Russian immigrant that was involved in the red hit to the court and saw me in, and he got it. And anyway, this is what we're up against.
Okay.
So do we want to leave number 373? The one
I would think so.
Okay.
And I will just make a comment. I think this isn't necessarily something that's new information, but I had a really detailed conversation with one of my other county commissions, which is why I wanted to bring this up to everybody at this point. We know Proposition D failed. That was the gas tax in November. I had one of my county commissioners in a different county say he didn't vote for it because he didn't like the way the language was worded and he didn't feel like MoDOT had a plan for what to do with the money. So I'm just trying to make sure. I think this group is educated. You guys understand that. But I think I've heard from statewide, my peers across the state, we have quarterly meetings and we can talk about what we're hearing. There are a lot of people say they didn't like the way that language was worded. If it had just said increased gas tax for road and bridges, they would have voted for it. So I think I've heard from some legislators at the state level that they're not going to look at another gas tax increase or funding like that because the people have spoken, they don't want it. I think that that's sort of a silly argument because I think what we're hearing is people didn't like that ballot proposal. So I think if you have good relationships with your elected officials, they're now on recess. I mean, they're on break for the next few months. It's a good opportunity to have some coffee, have a lunch, and say, you know what, you should still take a look at this. It went down because the people felt like it was a bait and switch. They thought it was a confusing wording. If you were to just ask specifically about transportation funding, you might get a different answer. And second, they do have a plan. It is a 5-year statewide transportation improvement program, the STIP, and it's published on MoDOT's website. It scrolls across the top. It's easy to find. That is the plan. I mean, the whole expectation all along was to follow the planning process that I walked through at the very beginning. They start at the local level, they filter up and get programmed into the STIP. So it's not like they would get an influx of money and MoDOT would go be building wasteful things. Someone made a comment about it's really frustrating that I-44 in Springfield or James River Freeway is always under construction and they can't afford to resurface the road in their town. Again, Springfield gets sort of their own pot of money, right? I mean, it's a metro area. They're not competing with the same pot of funds that we are out in the rural counties. Different funding opportunities for them. So it's not us against them. We're looking at this regionally. You guys understand that. But I think when you're talking to people and you're trying to explain to them, understanding that there's a statewide planning process, they can talk to you, they can talk to me. There's a system in place for people to provide that input. And that encouraging our elected officials to look at this again. The bonding is a great thing, but it does nothing for our locals. The gas tax would have been more money in the big pot of money that gets distributed through the funding formula. So it would have meant more money for cities, more money for counties. The bonding doesn't necessarily help in that shape. So I think that's something I just wanted to make sure that I didn't realize I had county commissioners that didn't understand that. And so now I'm trying to, obviously that's on me for not discussing that more clearly. So I'm just trying to make sure that that's out there. And that as we're talking to people, if that's something you're feel strongly about, that we're explaining that. We got our top three. We will prioritize on July 10th at the TAC. Thanks.
Sounds good. Any other new business? Go.
Are we new business? I'm not sure whether it's new or old. Devin, can you give us kind of an update on Bill Grant or somebody where we're at with?
Commissioner Wyatt has mentioned a minute ago, we do have a meeting set up June 11th with the Federal Highway Commission to go talk to them and give them a presentation and see what their thoughts are.
And Megan has sent out, for anybody that's interested, if you want to see this is the 2019 Bill Grant information. So this has websites, deadlines,
webinars,
all kinds of details. This is a $900 million program. For those of you that haven't seen this, the Bill Grant, Tiger Grant continuum has changed very significantly between the previous administration and this administration. The previous administration devoted the very lion's share of the Tiger Grant and later Bill Grant to urban areas. And so the big cities got the vast majority of the money. The current administration has reversed that almost in spades, and now the rural areas are getting the vast majority of the money. And the use of the money has been switched to system expansion, where before it was just large projects. They were just basically large, high-speed rail was getting these grants for $160 million, and then Florida had one for $160 million, and it got all spent, and there's no high-speed rail, and they don't know where the money went.
And they just shut down California.
And it's that kind of stuff. So there's been a change in all of that. So Megan's handouts, when we were at the last meeting, had that in there, and then I went to the website itself, and there was more information about this. But do know that all of this bodes pretty well for what where we fit in this. We were pretty close the last time. I think one of the big issues was right away, and you guys have worked on contingency right away agreements. Help me when I'm getting off base here, but where people are saying, yes, you can put the road through here, but if you don't put the road through here, it's not county land. It's still ours. So it's like almost like an easement. Commissioner, am I getting off base here?
No, you're fine. There was actually just two points that we need to address. That the third one they had was they didn't realize we had the funds for a matching. We just have to show an alternate fund in case the economy goes down and everything. And so then we are going to supply that. So just like you said, the other two are in the works.
So I think we're going to have a pretty strong program here. And then again, some of the issues that we brought up today will be addressed by switching traffic from an incapable route that is very expensive to improve to a much more capable route that has the expansion. It would be expandable in the future. That route, the expressway, would start in one form but could be expandable in the future. And so I think there's a lot of positive stuff here, but do know that if you're interested in any of the details of that, I can provide this, or anybody on the county has Megan's information, and so that will all be there. But that would tell the story about the build grant. And when are we going to know about the build grant? It's due July 15th, has to be in. So we talked about letters of support. So we just need to make sure we have that. And Joel Cannon was at the last partners meeting, and they're committed to a letter of support. And that may seem a little crazy, but that hasn't always been that easy out of that office. And so this has come a long ways.
And we have somebody that works with them directly and get it. And Billy Long's office gave an excellent letters report in his committee.
And their office has always been, on our federal delegation, the strongest support. But Senator Blunt has really come a long ways on all of this stuff. I'm not sure who all was on a conference call last year with their transportation guy. To be honest about it, he didn't know what we were doing. He talked like he knew what we were doing, and then all of a sudden he said all this crazy stuff. And he didn't know that he was embarrassing himself, but the rest of us did, which really told the story that they didn't know what was going on. Now, hopefully we can do better this time.
The one I was disappointed we did not get and would work on now is that's the governor. He did not send one out last time.
And I have a very strong belief that Governor Parsons will be on board big. So all of that said, if we could get this, and again, many of you have heard before, but the analysis of a big project like this is, if you spend $20 million or $18 million on this, that your return on investment is $18 million, at least, one-to-one return. This project returns 7-to-1. The largest return that anybody that's worked in this stuff has ever seen. And there's no reason why we shouldn't get this other